Welcome to His Church, Owensboro Podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in your life, and we would love to hear from you. Visit us at hischurch.cc and let us know about all of the things that God is doing in your life. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would consider supporting us financially, please visit hischurch.cc and click on Give to see the many options available. Thank you for joining us. We hope this message blesses you.
I want to welcome one of my dear friends and just talk to you just for a moment about Pastor Chris and Pastor Sue McDonald from Life in Christ Church in Marion, Kentucky. They've been down there now. It's been a decade, hasn't it? Almost a decade now. They took a church down in a town that we've been connected to for many, many years. And my father-in-law actually was on the board of that church. And the church had went through hard times. I think there was about 40 people left in the church whenever they were called to come and take it. And back in those days, I would come on Wednesday night and help preach to hold that church together. When I was starting, I'd been starting this church. We didn't have Sunday nights yet, so I would preach down there. And there were 40 people left in that church, and I don't think any of them really liked each other at the time. So Chris and Sue were called there, and they went to a tough situation, and they began to preach and minister the love of God. And I'm telling you, God started to move, and God started to save, and God started to heal, and God started to deliver. And in the town of Crittenden County, they just built a brand new 500-seat sanctuary. And in a town of about, I don't know, 2,500, 3,000, something like that, that they had 500 people in worship this Sunday morning. I'm just blown away by what God has done. They're some of my best friends. I see them as some of the people with the highest integrity of anyone I know in the nation. I promise you, salt of the earth. And Chris has got a word from heaven. He's been a friend of mine, a covenant friend. And he says I'm his pastor and stuff like that, and I mentor and help him. But I'm telling you what, he's helped me as much as I've ever helped him. And it's kind of like you got friends in life. When one of you gets down, the other one gets you up. And then the other one gets down and you get him up, right? And you take turns like that in life. And those are real faith connections that help you. I feel like they're brothers and sisters, and we're of the same spirit. And I want you to stand up on your feet and give Pastor Chris McDonald a big His Church welcome tonight.
Come on, you can do better than that for Jesus. Come on, give God some praise. Come on with everything in you. Come on, He's worthy. Our God is worthy. Yeah. They let the rednecks out tonight. I'm gonna tear it up in here. Amen. What's up, His Church? Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor Brian carried me high, so I'm going to have to get with it tonight, man. He really sold me, so I'm going to have to really get on with it. So, listen, I love this place. I love your pastors. They are some of the most incredible people that I ever come in contact with. And he was talking to me about the offering this morning, his legacy, his honor offering. I don't know what it's called. I just know it was an offering. And I'm into offerings. So, well, you would be. You're a preacher. I was into them way before I was a preacher, because I understand seed sowing. Amen. And so I just was praying today about it, and I thought, man, I want to give into that. And Sue and I were just talking about it on the front row. And Life in Christ will be sending you a check this week for $10,000 for His honor offering. Amen. Now, I didn't say that so everybody could think, oh, boy, that's really something. He just did that. I didn't do anything. I just obeyed God. Come on, I'm telling you, there is no reason that anybody in the body of Christ should lack. And so I'm sitting praying today, and I'm thinking about it, and I just want to encourage you two to understand something. God's put a big dream in your heart, 100 campuses in your heart. Don't ever let the devil steal that word out of your heart. You'll never lack for any good thing. The Bible says that those that love the Lord shall never lack for any good thing. You'll never come up short. You'll never be wondering how it's ever going to happen. trust the Lord. Lean on the Lord and trust in God. You'll always have more than enough to abound to every good work. You'll always have enough. Always. And you'll see those campuses come to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, it's great to be here. And I believe God's going to help some people tonight. This is some stuff I've been preaching over the last few weeks, and it's just in my heart. And I really believe that people in the body of Christ need to understand that there is a thief out there. And he comes to steal the word. Everybody thinks the devil comes to steal their money. No, he's after the word. If he can get the word, he's got you money. Huh? So they had me here tonight for the first night. Now, every night after this, they'll have all the plain talking preachers. I'm liable to throw something on you. It may take you till you get home to figure out what I said. Just stay with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, God is good. Amen. It's good to see some of our bunch here, traveled over here tonight. That's awesome. I'm glad y'all are here. Got my wife, Sue, with me. She's the best part of this outfit, I can promise you. She keeps me straight. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John 10:10. I think they may have it up on the screen in the Amplified. I just want to go through this a little bit and just encourage you that it is God's will 100% for you to have an abundant life, meaning every area of your life should be abundance. Your health should be abundant. Your wealth should be abundant. Your relationships should be abundant. Every area of our lives should be in abundance. That is the will of God, and we're going to read where Jesus was talking, and I figure if Jesus is talking, we need to listen. Now, I don't know, it probably won't be in red if it's up on the screen. I told the church here a while back that Jesus, you know, in the Bible, when you read the Bible, it's always in red. It looked like some of my English papers when I was in school. I thought Jesus graded most of them after I got saved. Praise the Lord. My paper's heavenly. F stands for fantastic. The thief, and this is Jesus talking. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, destroy. Now, I looked that word up, steal, in the original language, and it means steal. That's what it means. It means what it says. The word kill here means to butcher. The word destroy means to cause you to die or perish. And I can tell you this. The enemy has stolen the word from many God-loving people. And he has butchered the church for far too long. And it takes people standing in the face of the enemy and declaring the word to God's people to get them to understand we're on the winning side of this. We are not the devil's doormat. Amen. We are not the ones to come out on the losing side. We're the winners in this deal. So you need to recognize what's going on. The enemy wants to steal the word from you. I called Pastor Brian a few months ago. I said, man, I had a vision. I saw you in a vision. I got a word for you. And I'm no prophet, but every once in a while, I'll have a prophetic word. And so I gave him that word, and then it was some couple of months later or so, he and John Tatum, this was all coming to pass. They were watching it happen. Don't let the devil steal that word. You hear me? Don't you let the devil steal that word, because he'll try. This course of you planting 100 campuses, he'll come to try to take that word. And you remind yourself and the staff in this church and whoever's going to be on staff in the other churches, I'm sure you're going to be watching this. You remind your pastor of the word that God gave them to plant these campuses. And don't you let the thief come in and rob people's lives of what God has in store. I'm telling you, there are great things going to happen in Henderson. Great things are going to happen in Henderson. Don't let the devil steal. I'm telling you, great things are ready to happen in everybody's life. Some people just allow the enemy to, well, you know, I don't know if he could do that in my life. I mean, you know, I've never had much, never done much, and didn't do this and didn't do that. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done before. What matters is taking the word of God and putting it into your life and then using that word against the enemy. Amen? So we've identified why the thief is coming. First off, he hates believers. Because you look like God to him. That's why he don't like you. So he's coming to steal the word from you so he can butcher you. And he's not particularly impatient. He'll take his time. He'll try to wear you down and do all that kind of stuff to try to get the word from you. That's why it's so important. I say this all the time. I teach our people this all the time. I say this to myself. Put the word of God in your heart and put the word of God out of your mouth. Make sure the devil understands that you know who the boss is and it ain't him. Amen? So he's coming to destroy. Now look, Jesus is telling us that, and then he tells us what he's here for. He said, I came that they may have and enjoy life. The word life there is Zoe, the God kind of life. So the devil is coming to try to steal from us, steal the word from us, to butcher our lives. And Jesus is saying, but I've come that you could have the God kind of life. Now, you may be sitting out there saying, well, I don't have that kind of life. You can. It's available. The God kind of life is available through God's word. That's why it's so important to put the word of God into your heart, into your life, and out of your mouth to bring that God kind of life out of you. See, it was the will of God all along for you to have this kind of life. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he put them in a place of perfection. There was no sin there, no sickness there, no lack there. Nothing was ever wrong there. There was no crime. There was nothing ever wrong. And that's God's will. And God's will did not change. When man fell and sin came into the earth, everything that has to do with sin came with it. God sent Jesus to the earth, and Jesus went on the cross. He died on the cross to restore that garden principle in every human being. When you get born again, God will spend the rest of your life working the garden out of you. Those of you that just gave your heart to the Lord here in this service, the five or six of you, however many it was, throw yourself at this deal. I'm telling you, I trust my life to these people, and so can you. Walk through the process. Let them walk you through the journey. This is a process we are on. I've been born again for many years now, and I'm still in the process. Thank God. Thank God I had people come along and help me. Thank God I had people come along and tell me about the Word of God. I didn't even think you could read the Bible. Can you stand a little bit of who I used to be? I didn't know anything about the Bible. The only thing I knew about God was he was mad. Come on, some of y'all lived in the same world I did. He was mad and out to get me. When I got born again, I was an alcoholic. I walked down the aisle of a little church in Lola, Kentucky. I know, you don't know where that's at. You can't even Google it. It's about that big around. I was so far from God, I wanted nothing to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with church, and I did not like church people. All I thought about was drinking whiskey and raising hell. Somebody somewhere was praying for me. Amen. Thank God. So I go on a trip with a man, and all this man talks about is how good God has been to him. Now, this was not part of my thought for the night, so somebody's life is getting ready to be changed. 8-hour trip. He talks about the goodness of God. He didn't talk about my sin. Come on, he knew me. He didn't point the finger at me. He just talked about God. He pointed to God. So we go and we do the business we had to do, get back in the truck, drive 8 more hours. He's still talking about God. Now, I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I wasn't completely dull. I thought, you know, if God's that good, I might need to go to church. Come on. So I come home and I told Sue, I said, you know, I think I want to go to church. After she picked her chin up off the floor, she said, where? I said, well, I think I want to go where they go. So we went and we had a conversation the night before we went, talking about our life and how big of a mess it was. And she said, okay, we need to pray. She said, go ahead and pray. I said, I don't know how to pray. You pray. See, when people sit in a congregation, they look up here and think they have it all figured out. We don't have it all figured out. We may just be further down the road. I said, I don't know how to pray. I said, you pray. So she prayed. We go to church. The pastor wasn't there that day. Come on, how many of you know when the first time you come to church and the pastor ain't there? I was already mad. I'm just saying. I'm not a Christian, okay? So I know Christians don't get mad. Whatever. It's righteous anger, preacher. Mm-hmm. Sure. 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 Was that a righteous number one sign when they cut you off in traffic? It's sanctified. It's sanctified. So we're on the back row, because that's where you go when you're not born again. And the guy preaching, this was his first message he was ever going to preach. I'm like, really? I finally decided to go to church, and now this guy's never, I'm like, dear Jesus. He's standing there with his Bible, and I could tell he was nervous. I'm nervous. How many of you have ever been nervous in the service? See. He shuts his Bible. He never even started preaching. He closes his Bible, walks around the pulpit, leans down on the pulpit. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this other than I know it's from God. And that man stood there and quoted the whole conversation that we had had the night before. And I thought, whoa. This is from God. Everybody else could go home now. I'm thinking, man, this is like, you know, I didn't know all the Christian words, divine, holy, anointed. I didn't know all that. I'm thinking, God's talking to me. So I'm thinking, okay, now, somebody has to play a piano, sing Just As I Am 43 times, and then that's my idea of church. Come on, people have all these ideas of church. So a lady walks up to the piano. She sits down, hits one key. I took off. I went to the altar. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Remember, I don't know how to pray. I just know I need the Lord. So I go to the altar. Everybody in the room knows me. They're all amazed. He's in church. Oh, my God, he's at the altar. What? The preacher's shocked. I'm shocked. He said, what do you need? I said, man, I got to get my heart right with the Lord. And he just looked at me. He said, okay, we need to pray. I said, well, get to it, because I don't know how. Like, I'm just being honest. He said, well, we need to kneel down here. I said, okay, so I knelt down and I prayed and asked Jesus into my life. When I got up off of that floor, I didn't feel any different. I didn't look any different. I still wanted to go drink whiskey. I still cussed. I still did all that stuff. I did not understand that something had changed completely on the inside of me. And that because of the blood of Jesus, I was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I did not know that at that moment. But I did know I was going to heaven, and I was pretty excited about it. Just saying, it was a big relief. So then when I started getting into the Word of God and started understanding I could actually get a Bible and read it, and wow, that's for me. Then I started putting the Word of God into my life, and I started to understand that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of anything I've done, but because of everything Jesus has already paid for. He paid for you to be able to come into contact with God. So that's why I'm encouraging the few that just raised their hand. That's why I'm encouraging those of you who are sitting here thinking, man, I can't connect with God. Yes, you can. If you're born again, you're already connected now by the blood of His Son. You might as well just go ahead and throw yourself all in and go for it. Amen. Amen. So He said, I came that you could have the God kind of life and enjoy it. Now, I enjoy life if you can't tell already. Now, if you don't know that already, have me over for supper. We'll laugh a lot. I mean, I love life. It's the God kind of, God's happy. God's not some drunk uncle sitting in heaven with a fist full of lightning bolts waiting on you to mess up. Huh? That's the idea a lot of people have. Right? That God's mad. He's out to get you. He's out to get you all right. He's out to get you close. That was His will all along in the garden. He wanted to be close. And He restored it through the blood of Jesus so you can now come close to God. That's the God kind of life. Zoe, abundant, to the full, till it overflows. The God kind of living. That's God's will for every human being. Even the ones that are so far away from God now they couldn't find Him with GPS. That's His will. He wants them close. That's why He sent Jesus. Amen. Now, Satan is after the word that comes to you. So he's going to challenge this with you tonight. Some of you, when you leave here, he's going to be trying to take this away from you. Well, you can't ever be like that preacher said. I mean, I know what you've done. You know what you've done. And some of them know what you've done. There's no way you can ever be what that preacher said. Let me tell you something. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. You can be 10 million times more than anything I could ever think of. The Bible says He'll do beyond your wildest dreams. And I tell you, I got some big dreams. I mean, I'm already past what most people thought. Just saying. The fact that I'm living is an upgrade from what most people thought. Mark 4:14-20. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the world's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word. Do you see? There's a constant press against the word. Constant. And it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. I prayed before services, and I speak it out a lot of times, that I believe the people that are sitting in front of me, that their hearts are good ground. That the soil is ready for the seed of the word of God. I'm telling you, your Bible, when you hold it up, it's a seed bag. And you need to be planting those seeds in your life. I'm telling you, I want a big harvest. I don't want to go out in the field with a one-row picker. I want to go out with the biggest combine you can possibly get in it, right? I want a harvest. Because that's God's will. Abundant living in every area. Some of you need healing in your body and you need to understand it's God's will for your health to be abundant and you just receive it into your life. It's just like you getting born again. You pray and ask God and you believe God that you're born again, right? Same way with healing, same way with finance, same way with anything else. Amen. Sown on good ground, those who hear the word, you're hearing the word tonight, accept it, come on, accept it. I'm trying to help you. And bear fruit, some 30-fold. How many of you know that's pretty good? I mean, a 30-fold return on anything is a pretty good return, right? You know, if you sowed today in the morning offering and you get a 30-fold return on that, I guarantee you'd be dancing and shouting. You know, I'm no mathematician, but if you sold $1,000 and get a, you know what I'm saying. It's going to be good. Some 60, that's better. Some 100. He's saying that to say it goes on and on. What can you believe God for? An awkward pause while you think about that. What can you believe God for? It all depends on how much word you put in your life. You can believe God for 100 campuses when you fill yourself full of the word. Because you don't see limits. You don't see boundaries. I don't ever want to put a limit on God. Ever. I heard a principle years ago, take the lid off of your thinking. I thought, well, that'd be easy. It's a little lid, so, you know, I'm done. What was he saying, really? He was saying, get the lid off of what you think you can do yourself and trust God. I'm telling you, if God put the stars in his hand and pitched them out into the universe and named them all, he can pretty well take care of your light bill, I figure. Amen. So we want to be good ground, yes? So that the enemy can't steal the word, yes? Because if he steals the word, everything else, he'll run the table, right? He stole the word out of the church for healing. People argue about healing. I'm like, why would you argue about that? Jesus took stripes on his back and then he said, you are healed. Peter looked back and backed it up and said, you were healed. You're somewhere in the middle. If you are and you were, you is. I know all the English majors just about fell out on the floor, but it's fine. I done told you, all the plain talking preachers will be here tomorrow night. Come on, you are healed. You are, well, I don't feel it. Well, I don't care how you feel, you are. I'm blessed beyond measure. Regardless of what the bank account says, I'm blessed. I have more than enough to abound to every good work. Amen. With long life shall he satisfy me. That means I'm not dying early. I'm not quitting and giving up and checking out. I'm going on. I figure I'm going to heaven anyway. I might as well stay here as long as I can and win as many people as I can and get them to go with me. Yes, I've never preached a funeral and rode to the graveyard in an armored car. You won't take anything out of here when you go except the people you lead to Jesus. And I want as many to go as possible. That's why I want to talk to as many people as I can and preach to as many people as I can. Not so I can get some pat on the back or a feather in my preaching hat. None of that. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about titles. I don't care about any of that. I care about you and your family going to heaven. Amen. That's why I love offerings like this, because that helps populate heaven. It takes money to preach the gospel. If you don't think so, go to the airline counter and tell them you want a plane ticket on your looks. Y'all are good looking, but you ain't flying. You got to have money to pay your light bill. Clothe your kids. Give them plenty to eat. It takes money, right? Now, in the message paraphrase at the end of that verse, it says the seed planted into good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. I'm telling you, when this man or woman of God or anybody else stands up here on this platform and breaks the bread of heaven, you ought to be leaned in. I mean, it was before I knew that I was called to preach. I'm just telling you, sometimes I'm slow to the game, but once I get there, I play hard. I didn't know I was called to preach, and everybody around me did. There'd be somebody up there preaching, I'd just about wear a hole in the floor. I mean, I'm shaking all over, my legs are shaking. I'm like, huh, man, that's good. I'm like, I'm. What am I doing? I'm eating the word. It was sweet to taste. Finally, I said, Sue, we need to talk. She said, yeah. What is it with you women? Huh? Right, Bill? Y'all hear from the Spirit of God so quick. I don't know what is sonar. You know, we're men are radar. Boom! It's over there somewhere. I don't know. We'll figure it out later. I gotta go process. Figure this out. I said, we need to talk. I said, I believe God's calling me to preach. She said, well, I knew that for a year. Didn't think you could tell me. I mean, just couldn't let me in. She said, well, I didn't want it to be Sue-led. I thought, well, that's pretty smart. But it was something in me because of the Word of God. There are giftings and talents in this room everywhere that you may not even realize. But when you start to feed on the Word of God, that gift comes out and stands right in front of you. I'm telling you, I do things now that I never thought I would ever even be able to do or think about doing. I get to go places. I get to see people. I get to go and pray with people that I never thought I would ever come in contact with and watch God do miracles in their life, not because of me, not because I'm fancy. Y'all have already figured that out. But because of the gifting that God has put in me. I don't know why. Maybe because I said yes. He's wanting a yes out of you. Had anything to do with God? What have you said yes to lately that had anything to do with God? Put the Word of God in your heart and say, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Wherever that means I go, whoever I talk to, whatever I have to give. If I had to go clean my bank account out and give it all to the His honor offering so that we can get somebody to heaven, that's what I'll do. What would you give to see one of your family members go to heaven? Now I know something. Is he taking another offering? No. No. Maybe I should. Pastor Brian's sweating now. He's like, oh, Lord Jesus. But you understand, it's his money anyway. I just got blessed with it. Praise the Lord. I'll give anything away if it's not nailed down. And if I can find a way to pull the nail out, I'll do that. Because it's his. My life is his. I didn't know that before, but I found it in his word. And the enemy will try to come steal that word. Well, now you know, you can't get up in front of people and talk. Thinking, well, I've been in front of people talking my whole life. I guess I can. Well, now, you don't sound like everybody else. I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't have to have a voice like everybody else. None of y'all left. Just saying. Every one of us have a unique voice. And every one of us have a unique place. And you're in the right place to find your place in this life. And I'm telling you, you can enjoy the God kind of life. You can experience God's will for your life to the overflow. Do not let the enemy steal the word out of your heart. Find the word, put it in your heart, and don't let the devil have it. Because, I mean, come on, if somebody come in your house tomorrow and said, what are you here for? I don't know you. What are you doing? Oh, I'm here to get your TV. Excuse me? Could you say that again? Oh, I'm here to get your TV. No, you're not. That's my TV, right? Come on. Y'all are like, well, that's unholy anyway. I don't know. Okay, whatever. It's your story. You can tell it how you want. We fight for physical things. Huh? I mean, we'll throw a fit over stuff. I'm talking about stuff that's supernatural, live forever stuff. The Word of God. It's so important to have it in our life. Huh? It's food for the believer. Amen? Amen. Come on, bow your heads, would you? Come on, if you're in here and you say, you know what? I I'm that person. I've let the enemy steal from me. I've known that life that you're talking about, but I've let the enemy creep in and steal that from me. Come on, I'm telling you, God wants to restore you right now in this moment. Thank you. See, I didn't even have to say anything. That person's like, come on with it, Jesus. Come on, it's not the preacher. I'm going to tell you, it's Jesus. He's going to mend hearts in this room right now. I believe he's walking right up to people saying, come on. Come on, I died for you. Come on, I died for you to have this life. I died for you to have abundant life. I died for you to have the overflow life. I died to protect you from the enemy that would come in and steal from you. You're protected because you're the beloved. You're God's kids, and the devil has no right to mess with you. The devil has no authority unless you hand it over to him. Jesus gave us his authority when he left this earth. He delegated to us and said, I'm giving you my authority. Now you rule and reign. You take over. Amen. So I intend on it. I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. That ought to be our mentality. We're here to take over this planet for God. We're here to win as many people to Jesus as we can. So I'm encouraging you, all of you, every one of you, fill this place to capacity. Find everybody you can and tell them you need to come to the church I go to. God is there. You'll meet God there. Your life will be changed there. Your family will be restored there. Your kids will be healed there. If you say, I'm not even able to have children. You can if you come here and get in the atmosphere of miracles. Wasn't that a lady up here a while ago? Just the same deal, right? She has a child and one on the way. Yes? Well, that's good for other people, preacher. You don't know me. Okay. But God does. See, God created you, and he knows everything about you. All the little places in your life that you think you failed and God could never fix, he's waiting to right now. Amen. So if you're out there and you say, well, it's me. I've let the enemy steal from me for years. But I want to move back into a place of restoration. Come on, if that's you, slip your hand up. In fact, if that's you, stand up. Oh, yeah, that's a bold move. Bold move. And just remain standing. Father, I thank you for every person that stood up by faith. And I join my faith with theirs. I say, enemy, take your hands off of them. For they are children of the Most High God. They are covenant sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I declare and decree over your life abundant living, Zoe, God kind of life, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command every evil force that's ever stood against you to leave now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your anointing, for coming into our lives, for touching people's hearts. We thank you, Father, for abundant living in every area. In every area of his church, in every area and every campus of his church, I declare abundance. I declare abundance. I declare miracles at every campus. I declare a breakout of miracles at every campus. I declare a breakout of abundance. May it overtake us in the name of Jesus. Now, all of you that stood up, come on, everybody in here, stand up with every one of us. And we're going to celebrate with all those that stood up and said, hey, the devil took from me and I'm over it. Come on, how many of you know if you're the kid on the playground that's getting bullied, there comes a point you're over it. Huh? Somebody's going to turn around and hit that bully right in the mouth. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not politically correct, is it? That's the playground. Let me tell you, that's the playground I grew up on. Huh? You took my milk money for the last time. You know what I'm saying? Have we raised a culture that just rolls over and let the enemy just run over them? I'm going to tell you, some people I believe have, but it won't ever happen on my watch. I'm not going to allow people to be run over. Amen. Neither will your pastors. They're not going to allow the enemy to run you over. He don't have the right to run you over. He's done it to people and people got scared of him. I remember when I first got saved, they're like, well, don't make the devil mad. I'm like, what? I don't understand what you're saying. Oh, don't make the devil mad. It's God, the devil, then us. I'm like, that didn't make sense here. So I went to the Word. Come on, the Word trumps everybody else's opinion. I went to the Word and found out, wait a minute, it's God, me. And the devil's down here under my feet. I like to keep him there. I like to keep him there. Come on, somebody, I like to keep him there. Because that's his rightful place. That's where he belongs, under the feet of the children of God. Now I'm telling you, you can do anything you can think of. You can do anything you can dream. You can do anything you can believe God for. Who would have ever thought that a little girl in California would be winning people in Southeast Asia? You know who thought it? God. When you were born, God knew. He knew one day you would stand before him and then get on a plane and fly across an ocean and stand and declare the word of God to those little babies. No lack for you either, remember? He's tried to come steal it, hadn't he? He's a liar. He's a liar. You'll never lack. Remember the word. You'll never lack. I'm telling you, folks, when you start getting this attitude and start talking to the devil, he just cows down and runs off. Don't take any mess from him. Amen. Y'all good? Feel better about life? Think you're gonna make it now? Amen.
I love you, buddy. Come on, let's give Pastor Chris a hand clap. It was awesome, Pastor. Everybody say this out loud. Say, I have the abundant life in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I walk in victory. I'm whole. I'm strong. My mind is sharp. I'm led by the Spirit. I don't lack. I don't want. The Lord is my shepherd, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give him one more hand clap tonight. He's a good shepherd. Amen. He is a good, good shepherd. How many of y'all enjoyed Pastor Chris tonight? Come on, give him one more hand clap. Incredible. Great, great word. We love you. You did a great job.